Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you folks out this Sabbath morning. We've been shut down for a couple of weeks. It was very difficult, but nevertheless, it had to have been done because of what this COVID-19 had done to our church. I was one of the victims. And, I took it lightly that COVID is the flu. We all have to agree it is. But to the extent of that disease, I've experienced it for myself. And I want to share this just for a moment. It was like a bus ran over me, backed up, and then parked on top of me, completely flattened. I was on my back the rest of the 2 weeks that I was infected. It just seemed like it was forever, but it completely floored me, flattened me. But I believe in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen? There's healing in His name. And I claim that promise this morning. My whole family was affected too. And I understand why the church shut down, because it was possibly here that we all got it. Yeah. I denied it, but our brother Shelton was here too that Sabbath morning, and he came over to my house that afternoon for lunch. He wasn't hit after 3 days after I got hit, and it just snowballed down, and we need to pray for my brother Shelton. So before I preach this morning, we're going to say a silent prayer, then I'm going to open with prayer, because my brother is in the Redlands Hospital right now, and he's in a serious condition. My brother Shelton in Christ. All of you know who he is. Anyway, I'm going to kneel. I'm just going to give you some 30 seconds to a minute to pray for Shelton and for the church, and then I'm going to pray and that the Lord will guide us as we study His Word this evening, this morning. Let's kneel. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne of grace this morning, praising You and thanking You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Father, this morning we have a burden in our hearts for our brother Shelton. I pray, Father, that Your will may be done in his life, that he may fully recover according to Your will, not our own, but that Christ may be lifted up and glorified. I pray for healing, Lord, to comfort the family at this time. I also pray for her, my cousin Stanley and Larissa. I pray for healing also, that they may fully recover from this pestilence. This morning we look to Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. I pray, Father, that as we look into Your Word, Your words today, that we can have that hope of the promises that You have set forth for us to know. I pray that You will guide my lips, my thoughts, my words, that what I say and do will bring honor and glory to Your holy and precious and powerful name. Be our invited guest this morning. Send Your mighty and holy angels to surround this sanctuary, the Holy Spirit, to teach us and lead us and give us the understanding we need this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Those 2 weeks that I was affected not only physically, but spiritually. I was in a warfare. A complete warfare. Now, we would think a warfare would be something like World War I, World War II. But you know, my brothers and sisters, this morning, we are in a warfare. And I experienced it that past 2 weeks. And I'll tell you why. Not only from a physical, where I was flat on my back, early in the morning, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up because my underclothes were soaking wet because of the fever I had. I would get up, change, put on some new t-shirt, and then go back to sleep. Oh, I can't just go back to sleep because the bed's wet. So I have to throw a towel down and I go to sleep. And in about an hour, I'd be soaking wet again. I was miserable. In a physical sense. I'm in a warfare. We're all in a warfare. And this warfare also affected my spiritual life. Because I couldn't even get up to do a devotion. Let alone read. I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't read inspiration. I couldn't read my devotional books because I was too weak. Let alone pray. I didn't even want to kneel down on my bed. That's how weak I was. It was warfare. Complete warfare. And then when I had the energy to even read, I would force myself to open my Bible and look at the text, and then the devil would say, "That's good enough. 5 minutes is good enough." And I listened to him. Because I was so weak, I closed my Bible, went back to bed, and went back to sleep. I was in a spiritual warfare. I didn't have the strength. But I did everything possible that I needed to do on my end to recover. Vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin what? Zinc? NAC? I mean, you all know what it is that we have to take. I was doing fomentation, steam in my nose because the COVID likes to stay in your nasal with a towel over my head, breathing 3-4 times a day, going into the sauna to sweat, taking ivermectin. Amen. You know, when the pastor brought the box of ivermectin to my house, and I looked at the box, it says, "For horses only." My wife said, "Yeah, you're a horse." I said, "I'm not taking this. This is for horses." But I was sick and I needed relief. I needed to recover. I trust God. But I had to do my part. And God healed me. Amen? I recovered. To the point where when the doctor released me, I went back to work. And everybody saw me at work. "Why are you back so early? You should be off of work at least for a month." Oh no. I was well. Amen? And I want to praise God this morning for His healing power. You know, my friends, I want to read a statement from The Sanctified Life. You see, she says that we are going to be facing temptations. And these temptations, as what I've encountered, was that this temptation was, don't read your Bible. You're too weak. You don't have the energy to study right now. Wait until you are well, then you study. because, my brothers and sisters, I was in a complete warfare. And I remember the Bible text that came out in Ephesians chapter 6. You have your Bibles? Turn with me there. Let's look at it. 1 Timothy. Are you there? 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Bible is telling us this morning, fight! We are in a warfare, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. We're dealing with the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a warfare, and the Bible is telling us this morning to fight, because we are in a warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're there in Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it says, verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. And this is Paul, the apostle Paul. He says, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Are you fighting the good fight of faith this morning? We're in a warfare. And I encountered that within the last couple of weeks. Ellen White quotes on this text. She says, the Christian life is a battle and a march. Are you a Christian? Are we a Christian? It's a warfare this morning. She said, it is a battle and a march. In this warfare, she says, there is no release. So here I am. I'm well. But there's no release in this warfare. Just when I think I'm well, you know what the devil's going to throw out? Another strain. You're seeing it on the news. They're saying, there's going to be another strain. So it is a battle. It is a march. It is a warfare that is no release. The effort must be continuous and persevering. This effort of ours in our Christian life this morning. It is by unceasing endeavor that we maintain the victory over the temptations of Satan. You know, my brothers and sisters, even within those 2 weeks I was flat on my back, I still had the desire to read God's word. We all couldn't sing, because in our worship service at home with my family, I love to sing the hymns. And we couldn't even sing the hymns because we would be all coughing. My phone would ring. People would text me. I could not even pick up my phone to read any of those text messages, or let alone talk on the phone. Thank you for the prayers. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There were 13 people from this church that got attacked. Two ended up in the hospital. One is still there. So we need to continue to pray. She says, continuing in Ministry of Healing, page 453, she says, Christian integrity must be sought with resistless energy and maintain a resolute fixedness of purpose. No one will be born upward without stern, persevering effort in his own behalf. All, how many? All of us here this morning must engage in this warfare. They all must engage in this warfare for themselves. No one else can fight our battles. This morning, we are in a warfare. We're facing troublous times ahead of us, but we have a God that's merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. And He's proven to me within those last 2 weeks that He has healing power. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our talk this morning is the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. And the Bible is telling us this morning that they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. My question for all of us here today is, are you and I hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You know that word, hunger? It means to desire with great eagerness. Are you desiring, hungering, and eager for the Word of God? Because here in my Bible, it's telling me, blessed are they which hunger. And that word, thirst, what does that thirst mean? It says a want, an eager desire for anything after thirst of knowledge. Are you hungering for knowledge? Are you thirsting and eagering for righteousness? Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's go there quickly. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, starting at verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So Judah and Israel will be saved. Did it not say that? Saved and safely. So I went to look up these two entities, which is Judah and Israel. And we come to realize that the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, they're related Israelite kingdoms. And we know that it's not a literal Israel, but now a spiritual Israel. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:6, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Why Judah? Because it was prophesied that the Messiah will come through its members. The Messiah will come through its members. Why? Because the Lord is our righteousness. You know that Bible text that came into mind immediately when I was going through this COVID-19 was, it said, surely the Lord God, surely shall one say that in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Isaiah 45, 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. The Lord can give us righteousness this morning. But not only does He give us righteousness, He gives us strength for these times that are coming ahead of us. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is holiness. Huh? Likeness to God. The Lord, our righteousness, is holiness. Likeness to God. And God is love. Amen? God is love. Ellen White makes it even more clear for us this morning on page 34 of Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. She says, righteousness is love. And love is the light and the life of God. The righteousness of God is embodied in Christ. We receive righteousness by receiving Him. And how we receive Him is by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? The Scriptures tells us, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat without money and without price. The Lord is righteousness is with me. The Lord, their righteousness is of me. That is found in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 1. But Jesus says to us this morning, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is a text that we're all familiar with this morning. This is nothing new, I'm telling you. You already know this. I'm just reviewing with you today because I needed to review the Word of God. Amen? He tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. She continues, she says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Here's that word, hunger again. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, my friends, surely shall one say, in him have I righteousness. Do you believe that you can be righteous right now? Amen. There was a thought in my mind when I was laying in bed of the fever and I was chilled and I was thinking, I can't breathe. And you know the number one problem with COVID patients? They can't breathe. And guess what? They end up in the hospital. My wife was telling me, you need to prone. What's that? Don't sleep on your back. Sleep on your stomach. I don't sleep on my stomach. So I didn't listen to her. Sleeping on my back. And then that one night, I couldn't breathe. Oh, get up. Turn over. Why are you not listening to me? Turn over. In the position of like you're swimming. And it worked. So now I'm telling my cousins who got the COVID, prone. Prone. It saved my life. We're living in a critical time. And Jesus is telling, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. As we need food to sustain our physical strength, so do we need Christ. Here I was in bed, thinking all kinds of weird thoughts. Am I going to live? Am I going to end up in the hospital? Don't go in the hospital. You're never going to come out and leave the hospital. I know too many people that lost their lives because of COVID that I work with here at the Loma, at the university. A neighbor of mine, his wife pulls up and she tells me, Reuben didn't make it. What? Reuben was my neighbor, four houses down. He went in, never came out. So could I be one of them that end up in the hospital and not come out? I said, Lord, save me. This is serious. You know, I have to be honest with you folks. I didn't believe in it. I knew it was a flu, but not to the extent until the Lord saw fit that I got it. And it humbled me, floored me. As we need food to sustain our physical strength, so do we need Christ, the bread from heaven, to sustain spiritual life. And, she says, and impart strength to work the works of God. You see, that text is so broad, so deep in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 24, where it says, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness, but it also says strength. Strength to do the work of God. God still had a work for me to do. Amen? And that's why I praise God this morning that I'm here worshiping with like-minded believers. Amen! So, as we discern the perfection of our Savior's character, as we discern it, we shall desire to become wholly transformed and renewed in the image of His purity. The more we know of God, the higher will be our ideal of character. And the more earnest our longing to reflect His likeness. So are we hungering and thirsting to be like Jesus? You see, what I'm going to look at just for a few moments is that we are going to actually see how this really works. Because we can see it from a theoretical idea of our minds. Because, you know, our mind can only think so much. Right? Our knowledge and capacity of knowing more is when we get to heaven, we will ever be learning. But in this earth of sin and wretchedness, our minds can only expand what God allows us to understand. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Let me drive this home. She says this in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. If you have a sense of need in your soul, how many of us feel we have a need in our soul? A sense. Everybody. Every hand should go up, right? If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, this is an evidence that Christ has wrought upon your heart in order that he may be sought unto you to do for you. So if we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, this is an evidence that Christ has wrought upon your heart. Christ has placed it in your heart. Okay? Nobody else is going to place that in your heart. Only Christ. And listen to what she says. Through the endowment of the Holy Spirit, those things which it is impossible for you to do for yourself, the Holy Spirit will give you the knowledge. The words of God are the wellsprings of life. The word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Every word of God is pure. Yeah. And it is a shield unto them that trust in him. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding even unto the simple. So the words of God are the wellsprings of life. You know what a wellspring is? A wellspring is a source of continual supply. So every word of God is pure. The words of God are the wellsprings of life. As you seek unto those living springs, you will, through the Holy Spirit, be brought into communion with Christ. Are you seeking for those living springs? Are you seeking for the well springs of life? Because what's going to happen is that you're going to be brought into communion with Christ. This is going to get good. When you are brought into communion with Christ, familiar truth will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. Let me explain. You've been reading the Bible all your life. And all of a sudden, when you read John chapter 3, one morning, it's like, huh? I have a new meaning to that text. You remember? Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus says, what? What are you talking about? How can you go back to your mother's womb? And when we look at those texts, you start to realize familiar truth will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. You will see it from a different aspect of Scripture. Why? Because you are now in communion with Christ, and Christ is leading you down a path of righteousness. I look at those texts now with a different aspect, different meaning. It says here, familiar truth will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. Texts of Scripture will burst upon you with a new meaning. Turn with me to Matthew. I'll go a little deeper on this one. Go with me, Matthew. Matthew 14. Are you there? Matthew 14. And this is the story of the disciples going on the sea, going to the sea in Galilee. Let's look at verse 25, starting at verse 25, chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto the Lord, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now there's some application that we could look into. But one in particular I want to look at is verse 29. If you have the King James, there's a red letter on the word come. And he said, come! The other day we were talking about this passage, and there's different application how we can gain from this. Peter wanted to walk on the water. Why did he want to walk on the water? So that he could show everybody he was walking on the water? Is that what it was? I don't think so. Look at verse 29 carefully. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Peter had his intention on being with the Savior. He wanted to be near the Savior. It wasn't about him walking on water. It was about him wanting to be by Jesus. And Jesus is saying, come. What are the other texts that comes into mind that tells us to come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Amen? I will take my yoke upon... Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Jesus is calling us today, come to me! Come unto me! You hunger and thirst after his righteousness? She says, familiar truths will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. Texts of Scripture will burst upon you with a new meaning. I look at John chapter 4, John chapter 3, Genesis chapter 6 with a new meaning now, because it was a story when I was growing up. It was just a story for me. But now it has an application in my spiritual life today. She says, you will see the relation of other truth to the work of redemption. And you will know that Christ is leading you, a divine teacher at your side. The Lord, our righteousness, is leading us as we commune with Him day in and day out. Amen? In John chapter 4, we know about the woman at the well. Let's go there. John. Are you there? John chapter 4. Jesus, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that's said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked, and he would have given the living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. As the Holy Spirit opens to you the truth, you will treasure up the most precious experiences and will long to speak to others of the comforted things that you have been revealed to you. Basically, what the Bible is telling us this morning, the water that He will give us will be springing up into everlasting life. That means it will be overflowing. A wellspring, continuous source of supply. It will be overflowing, that when your cup is overflowing, you have more than enough, not for yourself, but everybody else around you. A continual source of supply. The Lord, our righteousness. And the Holy Spirit opens to you the truth that you will treasure up the most precious experiences. Are you experiencing communing with Christ this morning? He's our hope. We had a church member that lost his 14-year-old son from leukemia. Devastating. But we could see that coming. He's part of the family of God. And when I found out that his son passed away, I texted him, "We mourn with you. We cry with you. We pray with you." As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have that blessed hope. Amen? We know that there's an afterlife. The hope of a blessed Savior. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life where He can have closure. Because the family suffered for a long time when his son was diagnosed with leukemia. It was devastating. But as God's children, we have hope. And we need to be brought into association with them. Inspiration tells us you will have some fresh revelation of His pitying love to impart to those who love Him and to those who love Him not. We're living in a time where this warfare is not going to end. But the Christian life is a battle. This Christian life is a march. We know that she says that in the ministry of healing, this warfare is no release. It will be continuous. But we can trust the Lord our righteousness. He's our hope. He's our Savior. This door of opportunity is still open to each one of us this morning. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 14. Verse 17. And sent his servants. Well, let's look at verse 16. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Luke chapter 16. Let me read that again. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." Ellen White tells us in letter 84, February 17, 1906. She says, "It is now as it was when the message was given in Noah's day." In Noah's days. "And the invitation went forth for all who would enter the ark. We know not how soon the last message of warning may be given and our cases fixed for eternity." I did a sermon a month ago where I talked about our cases are coming up. Everyone here has a case pending. And here she's saying, we know not how soon the last message of warning may be given and our cases fixed for eternity. There was hope for all the inhabitants of the Noahic world to enter the ark before the door was closed. So everybody had an opportunity to go into the ark. Amen? Everyone. Now, spiritual gifts talks about there are at least 2 billion people in that time. So there's no way that amount of people could get into the ark. But everybody had the opportunity to get into the ark. Amen? So there was hope for all the inhabitants of the Noahic world to enter the ark before the door was closed. After it was closed, those who entered were severely tried. For they were in the ark for a full week before the rain came. Oh, she says, oh, what fearful scoffing and mocking and defiance of God there was by those who refused to enter. But after the week ended, the rain began to fall gently. This was a new thing. No one has ever seen rain before, let alone understand what that was. You see, the question that came into my mind was, why didn't the people that helped Noah build the ark get in the ark? They loved Noah. They believed Noah. They were families of Noah. But what was that last sign that they saw before the door was shut? When the animals went in 2 by 2 and 7 by 7. This was a new thing. The rain continued until every living thing was destroyed from the face of the earth. But one family, the family that entered the ark, was saved. My friends, we need to be prepared for the closing scenes of this earth history. Let all search their own hearts this morning. Let all search their own hearts diligently. See, we have a tendency to search other people's hearts. But the Bible teaches that we need to examine our own hearts, whether we are in the faith. But not only diligently searching our own hearts, she says that we need to be converted. Converted. Go with me to John, quickly. Go to John. And this is the story of Nicodemus. You know the story. You've read the story. I've read the story. But Ellen White tells us when familiar truths will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect, text of Scripture will burst upon you with a new meaning. Yeah, you know this story. This is nothing new to you. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Conversion is being born again. Meaning, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, I used to read that text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Then all of a sudden, verse 18 came into... I'd never read verse 18 before until I saw it as a wellspring of life. Then I began to understand what it really means to be converted. Because if you are converted, you will be reconciled not only with God, but with man. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. She's telling us in letter 84, February 17, 1906, not only to search diligently our hearts, but we need to be converted, that their sins may be pardoned. The world, and you and I know, as we watch the news, the media, the mainstream media, we know that the world is becoming more and more decidedly opposed to God and the truth of God. You're seeing it. It's in your face. Blatant. Defying God. And you know what she tells us? National apostasy will bring national ruin. This nation, my friends, is spiraling down. And we know the world is becoming more and more decidedly opposed to God and the truth of God. And all who will do the will of God will be successful in obtaining a knowledge, and their experience will be valuable. Are you gaining this knowledge this morning? The knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. We must now prepare to do a great work in a short time. We must have an individual experience this morning. The door of opportunity is still open. Christ is calling you and I to a higher standard. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Paul, the great apostle Paul, is telling us, I have fought. Verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. You see, my friends, he was going to the guillotine to get his head chopped off. And he could say, now I am ready. I am ready to be offered. For the time of my departure is at hand. Can I say that today? I'm ready to be offered. My departure is going to end. We have to come to a point in our spiritual life this morning that we can honestly say what the great apostle Paul written here in Scripture. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I want to close with this statement. From these holy men, this is found in Reflecting Christ, Acts of the Apostle, page 512 and 513. From these holy men who from century to century have borne testimony for their faith, he hears the assurance that God is true. His fellow apostles who, to preach the gospel of Christ, went forth to meet religious bigotry and heathen superstition, persecution and contempt, who counted not their lives dear unto themselves that they might bear aloft the light of the cross amidst the dark mazes of infidelity. from the rack, the stake, the dungeons, from the dens of the caves of the earth, there falls upon his ear the martyr's shout of triumph. He hears the witness of steadfast souls who, through destitute, afflicted, tormented, yet bear fearless, solemn testimony for their faith, declaring, "I know whom I believed." These, yielding up their lives for their faith, declare to the world that he in whom they have trusted is able to save to the uttermost. Like a trumpet peal, his voice rung out through all the ages since, nerving with his own courage thousands of witnesses for Christ, and wakening in thousands of sorrow-stricken hearts the echo of his own triumphant joy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day. And now I am ready to be offered. Surely shall one say, "In Christ I have righteousness and strength." How many of you this morning want to have righteousness and strength in the Lord, our righteousness? Amen. Amen. May God bless us as we continue to move forward in our walk with Him. We're living in some serious times today. My prayer for all of us is that we can be strengthened, live this life that Christ wants us to live, a victorious life, so that we can prepare for the final scenes of this earth history. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the precious promises of your word. I pray, Father, that you will strengthen each one today. Encourage each one to examine our hearts, whether we are in the faith, to prove yourself and know that we are not reprobates. Forgive us for our inconsistency. Forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us for our selfishness, our pride, whatever it is that is separating us from you, Lord, I pray that you will remove it this morning, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we may be accounted worthy to be placed in that Lamb's book of life. Looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, I pray, Father, for deliverance. Deliverance from wickedness. Whatever it is, Father. This morning we lift up the ones that are sick, ones that are not here today to worship. I pray for our institution, our leadership. I pray for our government, our churches. I pray for our church here in Colton. I pray for our leadership here also. Father, we love you and we thank you for the blessed hope of your soon coming. Keep us faithful, Lord. As the word of God says, surely shall one say, "In him have I righteousness and strength." We love you and we thank you that you've heard our prayer this morning. All these things we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.